My guest at this time is Ohio Republican Congressman Steve Stivers, who represents the Buckeye State's 15th Congressional District. He joins me now to talk about the ignominious milestone of passing $15 trillion in official U.S. debt. We also want to get his thoughts on what we seem to be hearing out of the Super Committee as it gets closer to its deadline for cutting spending over the next 10 years. And we also want to talk about a new piece of legislation that he is promoting and how he believes that'll be a great job creation tool for our country. And Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
The $15 trillion in debt, obviously we knew this was coming. We could see it getting closer and closer. But when we see a milestone like this, considering where we were just 2 or 3 years ago with respect to this president and about, I guess, 11 or 12 years ago, back when we seemed to have surpluses in our future, what do you make of the $15 trillion total and growing?
Well, it's not a good day for our kids and the folks that are going to help pay off this debt. But it does put in perspective what we're going to talk about next, Greg, and that's that this super committee and this Congress need to work together to reduce spending and try to focus on paying down our national debt. And I've got a bill that would help do that, as well as I think we've also got to just keep an eye on spending less money. We're spending $3.5 trillion a year, and over a trillion of it is borrowed money.
How much confidence do you have in the super committee? Speaker Boehnert said he doesn't even think Democrats have a coherent plan, any official plan to actually cut spending. They're all focused on the revenue side. The Democrats say that Republican efforts to meet them at least partway on revenues isn't serious. So do you get the sense that we're just as far apart as we've always been, or do you think something will actually get done here in the next week?
Well, Greg, I've always thought that we are very far apart on our approach, but I do believe that everybody's going to be in a position before this is over where we've got to come together. I mean, today puts it in perspective, $15 trillion in debt that our citizens need to figure out how to work together, and our government and our Congress is responsible to pay down over time. And so I think we have to come together. Sequester is the other option, and that would cut $1.5 trillion over 10 years by cutting defense spending automatically across the board by about 9.5% and cutting other domestic spending about 7.5% across the board. And I just think it's irresponsible to make across-the-board cuts when we were elected to use our discretion to say, this is important, we're going to fund it, that's important, we're not. And that's what I told my constituents I wanted to come here and do, and that's what I've been trying to do all year. I cut my own salary by 5%. I've tried to reduce spending everywhere I can, and we've got a golden opportunity on the super committee. I don't fit on it, but I'm going to get a chance to do an up or down vote on what they find, and I hope they can come together. And I think I believe that Speaker Boehner is showing a lot of leadership on this. We need him to continue to. We are at a very pivotal point in our nation's history, Greg.
What are you willing to compromise on? Are you willing to tax the quote-unquote rich? Are you willing to let the mortgage interest deduction go get kicked to the curb? What ideas that Republicans don't generally embrace are you okay with as long as you get something on the other side?
Well, a couple things I'm willing to do if we get real give on the other side. I've been a military soldier for 26 years, but I know we can't afford to continue to spend $692 billion a year to defend this country and to protect ourselves. I think we need to modify our strategy, set priorities, and spend less money on defense. I'm willing to shut down overseas bases in places like Europe and other places that a lot of Republicans aren't. I also am willing to look at the exemptions and exclusions in the tax structure and reduce a lot of them. I don't personally believe that now's the time to increase rates, but if we could simplify the tax system, I think there's a way to raise revenue by making sure that everybody pays their fair share.
Just a quick follow-up on the mortgage interest deduction. There are some out there who believe that that is one of the major incentives to buy a home, and in a very down market, that could be disastrous. Do you share that fear?
I do. I generally support the mortgage. I mean, there's a couple deductions that I support, the mortgage interest deduction and the charitable deduction, but there are about 5,000 pages of deductions that every year get approved in the extenders bill, and there's lots of other things we can take a look at. So even if you leave those on the table, there's a lot of way to simplify our tax code and bring in new revenue. And it's important to remember that if we do nothing by the end of next year, a bunch of taxes will go up. So if we can do some things to create some certainty on taxes, I'd be willing to, if we could make some of the tax cuts permanent, be willing to look at some other things on ways we can ensure that we are bringing in revenue.
What would be a serious number from the Democrats on the amount they'd be willing to cut spending to let you know that they are serious on that side of it?
I think out of the $1.5 trillion over 10 years, I think you've got to get close to $1 trillion in spending cuts, personally, is what I think. Now, obviously, I want to see whatever the proposals are, and I'm not saying I would vote for something or would vote against anything that's less than that on spending cuts, but I think that that is, a serious proposal. You know, there have been a lot of studies about fiscal consolidations, and they show if you don't deal with spending, if you try to do it with mostly raising revenue, it is doomed to fail if you don't deal with spending and fix the fiscal situation moving forward. So I believe that, you know, two-thirds or $1 trillion out of that $1.5 trillion should really come from spending cuts if you're looking at the $1.5 trillion number.
And we'll certainly be watching to see what happens there next week. As you mentioned earlier, Congressman, you've also introduced legislation that you believe will help to generate revenues in a very different way than the tax code. And specifically, it's called the American-Made Energy and Infrastructure Jobs Act. This kind of comes right in the wake of the president's announced new five-year energy strategy, which I know a lot of Republicans think is far too limited, not only in terms of offshore exploration, but they're not happy with his decision so far on the Canadian pipeline. Explain exactly what your bill would do.
Well, what my bill does is it helps fund infrastructure. My bill is mostly a funding source that Chairman Mica and the Speaker will use as we do a multi-year transportation bill to fund infrastructure. And my bill does three things. Number one, it puts Americans back to work working on infrastructure. And, you know, we have about 9% unemployment. Number two, it helps our energy independence and national security by drilling for more oil in the Outer Continental Shelf. And we currently import about 57% of the oil we consume every year. And the third thing it does is it helps pay for infrastructure. We have about a $2 trillion backlog in infrastructure. So what it does, the mechanism is, it expands drilling for oil and natural gas in the Outer Continental Shelf, and it takes the money and invests it all in the Highway Trust Fund to put people back to work, and we get to lower gas at the pump at the same time, the price of gas at the pump. So because it lowers the price of gas at the pump, puts people back to work, and make sure that we help our energy independence and national security, I think it's a win-win.
Infrastructure has obviously been a major focal point of the president in this latest Jobs Act push that he's had. At the same time, he's been pretty reluctant, especially since the Deepwater Horizon disaster, to expand that type of energy exploration that you're calling for here. So given those competing interests, what do you expect to be the reaction among congressional Democrats and from the White House?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of support among the building trade unions. There are a lot of Democratic groups lining up for this. So I expect we can make this happen. You know, the President's Department of Interior put forward new restrictions on and new requirements on companies that drill offshore after the Deepwater Horizon tragedy. And frankly, they weren't following the existing procedures, and the Department of Interior at the time was not inspecting them. Both of those situations have been corrected. Nobody wants to do this in a way that's not environmentally friendly. I was an Eagle Scout and want to make sure we do things well and look after the planet. But at the same time, you know, we're going to depend on energy and the internal combustion engine for at least the next 20 years, and we need to make sure that those cars in Ohio and throughout the country have gas in them, and it's affordable.
Last question. I know you're just introducing this, but the Speaker has already made it part of his jobs initiative. So any clue when this might get to the House floor?
Well, the Speaker said that we're going to try to get it to the House floor before the end of the year, which I'm excited about.
That's moving pretty quick by Washington standards.
Yes, sir.
Congressman, thank you very much for your time today. We'll keep track of it.
Thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate it, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Happy
you too, sir. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Ohio Republican Congressman Steve Stivers represents his state's 15th congressional district. Again, his legislation is the American-Made Energy and Infrastructure Jobs Act. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.